But we're going to get into prayer and get right into the word. We're not going to be long tonight, but I just trust God that we're going to be thorough and accurate. Praise God, and that God has a word for you. As you know, I'm not an apostle, but I'm acting in his stead. And I don't take this assignment lightly, believe me. You know, it's humbling. And I just thank God for the opportunity. But more so, I just want to be in my right place in the body of Christ. And that should be every one of our desire. Lord, I want to be where you want me to be, Lord. Hallelujah. Because that's where you're going to be most effective, being in the will of God for your life. Amen. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for this evening. I thank you right now, Lord God, for what you're doing by your spirit, Lord God. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross. We thank you for our apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., the visionary, Lord God. Hallelujah. Oh, the apostolic leader of this house, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for giving him the vision, Lord God. For without the vision, Lord God, none of this would even be here, Lord God. We would be elsewhere doing something else, Lord God. But Lord God, you put a vision in a man, Lord God, and you called believers to gather and garrison around him, Lord God. And Lord God, we're here, Lord God, because we know that there is an assignment to do, Lord God. And we want to be faithful to the call and faithful to what you have called us to do, Lord. We want to stay focused on the vision of God for our life and the vision you gave our apostle, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Glory to God. When I was given this assignment a couple of days ago, I began to ponder my heart and ask God, Lord, what is it that you want me to share? And I want to be accurate. I want to be thorough. But I want them to hear not me, Lord God, but I want them to hear you, Lord God. So the Lord directed me to some areas of refreshing, you know. It's so very important to keep the word before you, keep the vision before you, keep the assignment before you. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about writing the vision down, making the vision plain so that those who read it can run with it. It's, you know, a vision is a redemptive plan from God. And inside of a vision is everything you need to sustain you in life. When God calls you to a ministry such as this apostolic church, this governing church that God has placed here in Darrell, Louisiana, he's called you to something bigger than yourself, you know. But everything that you need, when you get connected properly to this vision, everything you need is gonna come out of this vision, you know. Prosperity, health, healing, peace, joy, victory, you know, overcoming in every area of your life. Because the vision carries with it all the power, all the ability of God backing it. For years, now I've been saved since probably early 70s. I remember getting filled with the Holy Spirit back in 1978. Matter of fact, the lady who initially shared with me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, she's sitting right on the front row next to my wife, Miss Perkins. I was leaving the church meeting as a student on campus at Southern University, and as I was walking away, she said, "Excuse me." She said, I see where you just rededicated your life or got saved." I said, "Yeah, I rededicated my life." She said, "I want to share with you about an experience after salvation called the baptism of the Holy Spirit." So you really need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And she planted a seed, you know, being a vision carrier, planting a seed, you know, whetted my appetite. I didn't get filled till that was like about March or April of 78. But I didn't actually receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit until I think it was June of that summer. But my life was from that point completely changed and impacted. Turn with me with your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 2, and I think you know where I'm going with this. Habakkuk chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verse 1. I want you to see it from your Bibles. Habakkuk 2 and verse 1. It says in Habakkuk, I still hear a few pages turning, so I'll give you a few seconds. Amen. Because, I mean, some of the things that's stated here, we need to keep before us. It says in Habakkuk 2, verse 1, it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord answered and said, and answered me and said, write the vision. Now I'm going to pause there. Well, let me finish reading the whole segment. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that they may run that read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and it shall and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it shall surely come. It will not tarry. Now, it states in verse 2, it says, write the vision. And as you see on the walls here, it says, first of all, it says, we're the home of covenant winners. We're equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. You know, that's our vision. We're the home of covenant winners, equipping the body of Christ to evangelize the world. That's so very important that we understand and recognize and know who we are and what we're about. Because without a vision, the Bible says that the people perish. There's no hope. But with a vision, the people can prosper. They can live a life of total victory in every area of their lives. And with the vision comes a visionary, apostle, our man of God. You know, God gives him the assignment. Gives him the vision. He told him, he says, I'll do it in Daryl. He says, I'll buy him cars. I'll put gas in it. You know, they'll come from the north, from the south, from the east and the west. I'll put gas in the cars and they'll be glad to drive. So people will be getting off of trains and planes. And when they hit the ground, they're going to be asking, where is Daryl? You know, we're a part of that vision. You know, keep that before you. Because that vision is going to take you wherever you want to go. You know, when you put the vision and the plan and the purpose of God first in your life, that vision is there to put you over in life, in area, in ministry, in whatever you're endeavoring to do. But with that vision comes a covenant. Okay? That's so very important that we understand covenant, that we are in covenant connection. We're actually in apostolic covenant connection with our apostle. And I'm going to read a few things here about apostolic covenant relationships between the father and sons and daughters. It says an apostolic covenant can be defined as a relational covenant bond for life that secures the leader and his disciples who are partners in destiny with the apostolic kingdom ministry. Let me read that again. An apostolic covenant can be defined as a relational covenant bond. Now, a bond is something that should be tight. You know, when you buy a glue, sometimes there's a hardener and there's a strengthener, and you mix them together, and then when you place it on the surface and hold it there for a while, that strengthener and that hardener comes together, makes a solid bond that shouldn't be, nothing should be able to pull that bond loose. You know, when you're in covenant with somebody, it's a bond. It's a bond that you should not let nothing break or come between that bond. You know, because like I said, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but, you know, the children, let's take, for instance, the children of Israel. They were in bondage and slavery to Pharaoh. They were not going to get out of Egypt by themselves. God called a man and gave him a vision or gave him an assignment and told him what to do. And everyone who hooked up with the assignment that God gave to Moses did what Moses commanded them to do. They began to walk out of Egypt. Bible said they when they left, they left wealthy and they left whole. There was no feeble members among them. And they left with the goods and they spoiled the Egyptians. Why? Because God gave an assignment to a man. He, in faith, stepped out, did what God commanded him to do, and led the children of Israel out of Egypt. A covenant bond. But let's move on. Within this covenant is an established criteria for the continuing spiritual growth, development, and maturity of the disciples. So inside this covenant bond, there's going to be growth and maturity, a development. You know, this is a maturity class. We're here to be developed, to be matured, so that we can carry out the commission and the assignment that God has for us here at Word Life Christian Center. Okay, let's talk about foundation right quickly. The term foundation represents the primary structural component of any building, especially those which are being constructed with increasing development and longevity in mind. In other words, if you want a building to last, you know, the components and the structure has to be right. And the most important element of any building is the foundation. I'm going to share with you, if I got a few minutes. I remember as a kid, and I've shared this before, I wasn't even in school yet. So I was probably 4 or 5 years old, but I remember it like it was yesterday. My dad and I went fishing. We caught a few fish, and he cleaned them. He cut the heads off, and he decided to bury those fish in the corner of the house. We had this old peach house that sat above the ground. And so he took the shovel. He and I went to the back in the corner of the house, dug a hole, and started putting those fish heads in that hole. But before we put them in there, he noticed there was a lot of bottles and beer cans and rusty cans and just garbage. And the more he digged, the more rubbish he dug up. And then he came to the conclusion. He said, this must have been an old dumping ground. And he said, the house is on top of this, because the house was moved there. And he said, you know, something's going to have to be done about this, because it eventually is going to probably sink and cause some problems with the foundation. So we lived there for a year or so. We moved and we sold a house. And now we had the property. And before we built the house that my mom presently lives in, my dad had a company come in with a backhoe. Doug, I was a kid, it seemed to me 50 feet down, but they dug all the rubbish, everything out, filled it with good solid topsoil, compacted, and the house that my mom presently lives in is there now. She's at the house tonight, matter of fact. I spoke with her before I came here. But several years later, I'm talking 30, 35 years later, or better, her back bedroom started to develop cracks in the corners where the molding, and they started to separate. And she called me one day and said, I don't know what's going on. And every now and then I hear a cracking noise, and I'm looking, and I'm, you know, I mean, it's a brick house. It's got a solid foundation, you know, so I thought. And then I got to thinking. Then all of a sudden, the Lord reminded me of what had taken place. And even though they had put topsoil and everything down, it wasn't compacted enough. And so it was still settling. And so she had to call a company in that raised foundations and dug under that foundation and put some reinforcements in to shore it up and level it off. And since then, there's been no problems. So I said all of that to get back to the point where if the foundation is not secure, it may take years, but eventually it'll show up. So you want to make sure that the foundation is right. Okay, let's move on. The term foundation represents the primary structural component of any building, especially those which are being constructed with increasing development and longevity in mind. Longevity meaning, or longevity in ministry, because I'm paralleling this to ministry. Longevity in ministry or service represents the amount of time that your service lasts, or the longevity means that you're here, you're not just passing through, but you're here for the long haul. You're here to complete the assignment. In other words, you're here forever, you know. So Think about it. I'm talking about a building, but I'm talking about the spiritual house. I'm talking about God's house. I'm talking about God's assignment, okay? You know, I'm using a physical illustration, but I want to illustrate a spiritual principle. You know, we are the church. We are the house of God. You know, collectively, individually, we all are part of the body of Christ. You know, the building here is the house that we're in. This is the church house, but you and I are the church. You know, God the Father, God the Son lives on the inside of each and every one of us. We're the church, you know. And so our foundation in it needs to be grounded. It needs to be rooted deep and shored up so that nothing can shake that foundation. Because as we know, the wind will come, the storms will blow, you know, but when you're founded on a good, solid foundation, you can't help but stand. Let me move on. Okay, let's talk a little bit now about stability and alignment. Stability and alignment are two other important component qualities of a foundation. Covenant relationships, like a tall building, must have a foundation of strong stability and alignment. In other words, instability, a lot of times when they're pouring concrete, if they don't use rebarbs or like a wire mesh to help secure the concrete together, over time, as things settle, you'll get cracks in your driveway. If you got cracks in your driveway, it's because they probably didn't use rebar. They probably didn't use a wire fencing, you know, to help the stability of it. So if something moves, that concrete gonna stay together. You know, I'm not a cement man, but you know, I've seen, matter of fact, in my backyard, my patio, it was poured without it, and it's got cracks running all over, you know, not solid, okay? But also alignment. Whenever you start a building, that you always want to start at a corner. And that corner has to be square, because if the corner is not square, this corner is going to be off. That corner is going to be off. So you always want to start, you know, at whether it's 90 degrees, and it should be where it's square. And that's why the Bible says that Jesus, he's the chief cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone of the church. And the foundation of the church is established in him. OK, so that there needs to be stability and alignment. That's so very important. There needs to be stability and alignment. In anything that we do, there should be stability and alignment in our foundation. The leader and the disciples' relationship within the camp cannot be superficial. Now we're moving on. Superficial. Superficial meaning just having somewhat of a surface relationship. The relationship has to have some depth in it. Casually joining together and then attempting to pass it off as a deep covenant relationship won't cut it. You know, there's got to be between the leader, our apostle, your pastor. It has to be a relationship that's not superficial. You know, superficial, as I said, is just having a casual surface relationship. When you first meet someone and you get acquainted with them, they may say something and tell you something that rub you the wrong way, and then you can go on about your business because there's no really connection there. There's no bond there. You know, but if you've been married to somebody, my wife and I, we've been married 35 years, going on 36 years soon. You know, nothing is going to just come between us and just separate our relationship. You know, because it's built not only with stability, you know, and alignment, but it's not a superficial relationship. Spiritually, you cannot have a superficial relationship with your man of God. You know, it needs to be one of a deep commitment, deep unrelenting commitment. You know, and it should be something that's going to last from here until eternity. You know, until Jesus come back, you know, that's a bond, because that's what covenants are about. A covenant is something that it's to death. You know, it's the only way to put it. It's a covenant for life. Amen. All right, let me move on. The bond must be absolutely sure, so the extent that the purpose and the interlockedness are motivated by the same vision and intention. Both the leader and the disciples must love the same thing and hate the same thing. You know, give you an example. Our man of God preaches prosperity, loves to see us prosper. We should love to see other people prosper, having the same heart. You know, he wants the body of Christ to walk in divine health. You know, that should be, we love it. But we hate to see people walking in sickness and disease, people walking in poverty, not having enough, because we know there's something better. So what I'm saying is his heart has to be our heart. You know, there shouldn't be no conflicts in that. You know, because covenant and commitment, all of that ties together. It has to be interlocked. Amen. All right, let's move on. And with that said, I'm gonna give you a scripture to back that up. John, 3 John 3, 1 and 2. You don't have to go there, but 3 John 1 verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy souls prosper." You know, now this is the Apostle John speaking, but it's in the Word, and we know that that's our apostle's heart, that people would prosper and be in health. You know, prosper financially, prosper physically, prosper emotionally, you know, even as their souls prosper. Although we have individual personalities and mannerisms are different, there should be a oneness that must exist within the apostolic anatomy, which is the divine spiritual makeup that we have. You know, when you talk about the anatomy of the human body, you're talking about, you know, the arms, the legs and the physique and all. But we should have the same anatomy as our apostle. And what I mean by that is because we're going to go into what is called DNA, having the same spiritual DNA. There must be an unbreakable line of spiritual DNA. Spiritual bonding that makes it impossible, listen to this, makes it impossible for the adversary to separate us. You know, and when you talk about DNA, DNA is the building blocks of life. Okay, with DNA, when a husband and wife has a child, that child has the same DNA as the father and the mother. So the same physical characteristics. You know, you can tell that my son and my wife, you know, they're related because they look alike. You know, my daughter and I, we look alike, you know, because of the DNA causes the similarities, the replication. Well, we should have the same spiritual DNA as our spiritual father. You know, because the same apostolic anointing that's flowing through him needs to flow through us. And as we yield, and you see, it's all about understanding the assignment, running with the assignment, going back to the vision, knowing what the vision is, picking up wherever God, you know, when you're in the military, everybody has a different assignment, you know. Different things that they have to do, but it all makes up the total picture of a mighty military force. Well, in the church, we all have different assignments, and it's so very important that we fulfill the assignment and the role that God has called us to, so that we could complete the task that's at hand for us. Amen. Amen. And that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Amen. I want to share one or two other things, and I'm going to get into some other aspects of this. Acts 6 and 7 says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith." That's something else that this vision stands on. That's another pillar of this vision, you know, that we're ever increasing, the disciples, you know, People are hooked up to this ministry. A great company of priests become obedient. People begin to walk into their callings. Their God-given roles and identities begin to manifest themselves. One of the functions of an apostolic anointing and an apostle is that they recognize giftings in people. And it's their job to help to launch you. And, you know, too often we've had people launch themselves. Though the talent is there, though the gift might be there, but you know, you it's the commissioning and the nurturing, you know, because we're under, it's so very important to be under a covering and not just be out there on your own, you know, because there's things that an apostolic covering can protect you from that you can't protect yourself from. Because, how can I say this, Lord? The Bible talks about principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in higher places. There are certain things that it takes an apostolic anointing to address. You know, because of a heaven to earth connection that is established, apostles have an open line to God. I like the way Kurt Anderson stated it years ago. He says, a lot of people talk to God. He said, but God talks to the apostle. Amen. In other words, you know, going back to Moses, when Miriam spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman that Moses married, Miriam said, we can hear from God just like you, Moses. But the Lord told Miriam, says, you know, he says, with Moses, you know, if there's a prophet, you know, I'll speak to him in visions and in dreams. He said, but Moses is not so. He said, he's faithful in all my house, you know, and I trust him, you know. God trusts the apostle, you know. And so with him, just like with Moses, God said, I speak to him mouth to mouth. You know, and not in similitudes or shadows or visions, but I speak to him personally, and that's where that heaven to earth connection is. That's why we have such a strong covering, because the heaven is open. It takes an apostolic territorial governing anointing to push back the forces of darkness in the region, you know, so that the word of God now can flourish and things in the area could begin to flourish. I remember some 20 plus years ago, this whole area was a sugarcane field. You heard the story of how they wanted to build a garbage dump where Pelican Pond is, you know, but because of an apostolic governing territorial anointing, prosperity and fruition, things begin to develop in this area. You know, it's not because somebody just made a right choice. No, God had it in his divine plan, you know, because he saw, you know, it was predestinated by God, you know, but it took a man to carry out that vision. It took a man to hear from God and begin to speak it out. You know, speak it out. I've heard him speak out things and it would just blow me away. But as the years went by, you begin to see it come to pass. You begin to see it come to pass. You know, so what I want to key in on is that we always continue to focus on the vision. Because take, for instance, a pair of binoculars or, a microscope, anything that you have to focus. When it's out of focus, your vision gets blurry. Okay, you can't see straight. And so the fine details aren't distinguishable. And so all of a sudden you're kind of walking around or you think you see something, but you're not sure what you see. But when you're focused in on something and you got accurate perception, now you can begin to run with the vision. You can begin to allow that vision to be who you are. You know, I have no other agenda, no other vision but this vision. You know, I mean, I'm wrapped up, curled up, you know, snugged up in this vision. You know, and that's what should happen to each and every one of us. I recognize I'm speaking to the Wednesday crowd, and I'm speaking to the other half of the Wednesday crowd that come when they know Pastor's still not here. So you guys are the faithful, the faithful are the faithfulest. I'm just being honest with you. You know it, you know? I mean, you see, that's what it takes, though, because it's about the vision. It's about fulfilling the vision. It's about equipping us. It's about, you know, us getting what we need. I'm going to give you an illustration, because, see, we're vision carriers. There's a young lady in here. I'm not going to call her name, but she shared with her boyfriend about the church. And he came and got all excited. He's here and she's here. But he ends up telling his roommate. He comes and here's the apostle. He gets excited. Matter of fact, he starts coming to the foundation class before he joined the church. You know? He came one Sunday. I said, you remember? He said, no. He said, but I'm here. But he was there with his roommate. But I'm here too. And I said, okay, praise God. I gave him a book, you know. And then he comes and joins the church. You know, he's here. You know. Then he tells his girlfriend. His girlfriend one day on Sunday. This is my girlfriend. You know. And now she gets hooked up. You know. And then the boyfriend tells his sister. She comes, you know, vision carriers. You know, let me tell you something. You never know who you're going to affect when you begin to say what thus said the Lord and speak about the vision. Come see what God is doing. You know, now I'm talking 4 or 5 people, and I don't know how many more they're going to bring in, you know, but if you're not focused on the vision, you're not going to be able to see straight, you know. And that's why it's so important to stay focused in on the assignment. Stay focused in, because you never know who you're affecting. You know, you never know who you're affecting. I'm gonna share this. Before I was a member, I was just friends of mine, Debbie and Dan. We've been knowing them since college, since the late 70s, early 80s. But I was at a little pickup basketball game with Dan Perkins, and we was in the gym down in Donaldsonville, Gonzales, and I sat out for a game, and I was sitting in the bleachers next to Brother Robert Gotro, and didn't know Robert from anybody. We were just sitting talking, and I think it was Kenny Lewis was playing basketball. He was running up and down the court, passing up everybody. Just, you know, I'm looking at him. And then Robert says, you know, he had an accident, and they said that he would never walk again. And I'm saying, I say, it don't look like it to me, you know. And he began to share. You know, said our pastor prayed for him, and you know, and said he had a limp for a while, and then one day in the service, the Lord told him to run, and he started running. He ran with the limp, then he left the limp, and he just started running. And what impressed me was, and I want to go to this. Turn with me to Matthew's. Well, let's go first. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. Keep what I just said in mind. And we're going to tack Mark 16 onto this. Mark 16 and verse 15. Mark 16 and verse 15. And it said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth shall be damned. Verse 17. And these signs. Now listen to this. This. When I got saved, I read this scripture, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So that sounds like some signs and wonders and some miracles taking place at the hands of the believer. But after I got saved, I didn't see a whole lot of that. I mean, every now and then, you know, you'd pray for somebody, they get healed. But it was almost like it was hit and miss, you know. And so now, you know, Brother Gotro was sharing something with me that wow, you you know. And so it was a testimony, and it was a seed planted. And so all that does is now whet your appetite, because when you get saved, you always know there's more. I mean, if it's in the Word, God is not a man that he should lie. But see, what we were missing, and what I was missing was when apostolic order and government is not in place, and see, God is a God of order, you know, and when things are functioning outside the order and the government of God, you're very limited in your capabilities, even though the potential is there. Because, I mean, it's got to be set up according to God's pattern, God's design, God's protocol. Because if it's not set up by God's pattern, God's design, and God's protocol, well, you're going to be missing out. And you see, now that we're beginning to function in apostolic order, you know, we're seeing the signs. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, because I'm talking to the cream of the crop on a Wednesday night. You've seen the signs, the wonders. You know why? Because apostolic order, apostolic government is being set up. Okay, let me just read a few things here, and we're going to continue on. We here at Word Life Christian Center, we are an apostolic governing territorial church. Our vision here is to change the lives of people with the Word of God. According to Ephesians 2 and 20, we're built upon the foundation. Remember when we talked about a foundation a little while ago? We're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's the building blocks of the church. You know, and then you have, you know, pastors, pastors and evangelists and teachers, you know, all the fivefold ministry gifts that come into play, you know. But it says here that we're built on the foundation. And you see, this ministry is built on the foundation of the apostle, you know, the vision that God had given him. Jesus being the cornerstone, he's that everything starts at that corner. Remember that? And then the building begins to be built and framed, you know, spiritually. So we're seeing the results of what Jesus started, you know. But then he said, it's expedient that I go back to heaven, because I'm ascending the Holy Spirit. But then he also says that he's going to give gifts to men. And we're seeing the result of that. OK, we are an apostolic ministry under the leadership of the apostle. Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., who is commanding, listen to this, he's commanding and mobilizing and rallying and gathering the army of God to challenge and to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. You know, that's what we're all about, pulling down strongholds, taking back territory. We're taking back territory. We're, you know, oh, Lord Jesus. Not only just locally, because I want to make sure I point out that, because a lot of times people see the local vision, but you got to understand and recognize it's a global vision. You know, there's more to us than what you see here on Wednesdays and on Sundays. You know, there are people on the internet watching. There are people all over the world gleaming and looking under us. As a governing territorial church, you know, because we're under apostolic government and leadership of an apostle, you know. So I guess what I want to say, we cannot take that lightly. You know, God has chosen us and put us here under such, you know, such, what's the word, Lord, just such an anointing that now we could also be apostolic in nature. You know, I mean, when you see someone who, for all practical purposes, laying in the hospital with no vital signs, and then you see the apostle come in, pray, give us an assignment, says, I want y'all to pray these scriptures and do this and do this. And then we begin to follow protocol, by doing what thus said the man of God says. You know, people come in, we give them a sheet, they pray, and we're all in agreement. And then in 3 days to see, you know, someone come back to life, you know, that's what I'm talking about when I was talking about in Mark, you know, 16. You know, these signs shall follow the believing one. But the apostolic order has to be in place. You know, I've known times before, I'm not going to go into it, where people would try to lay hands on somebody who's expired and nothing happened. And I would question God, Lord, you know, it's in the word, you know, but it's something about being under a covering, under apostolic order. And here's what it is. See, we're operating under an open heaven. Okay, because of the apostle, because of the assignment, and because of hooking up to the vision, we're operating under open heaven, you know, where we're pushing the forces of darkness back, you know, making the atmosphere conducive for the Holy Spirit to function, you know. And there's certain things that's not going to happen except apostolic order, apostolic government is in place. And what we're seeing now is that manifesting in our eyes. You know, we're at the cutting edge of the church being restored back to its fullness. We're at the cutting edge of the church being restored back to its full. We're going, you know, we're writing. Listen to what I'm about to say. We're writing new chapters in the book of Acts. Okay? We are writing new chapters in the book of Acts. The book of Acts never did conclude. They just stopped writing, you know? And so we're picking up now where they left off, and we're writing new chapters in the book of Acts, you know? You got to see it like that, because that's what's taking place, you know? God's church is rising up to where God had always intended it to be, you know. But in order for that to take place, you and I got to stay focused. We got to stay focused and understand what our vision is, what our mandate is, and fulfill our assignment, you know. And a lot of times people say, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Debbie Perkins, okay? I probably wouldn't be filled with the Holy Spirit if it wasn't for Debbie Perkins. You know, I'm just using her as an example, but just opening her mouth and sharing with me, you know, two or three young men in the back wouldn't be here if a member wouldn't have shared, you know, and now their lives are being transformed, you know. So don't think that you not sharing the gospel is not gonna make a difference. You have no idea who you are ministering to, who you are imparting into, you know, because see, God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, you know, and all it takes is us to share and it's just, you know, the Bible says they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. And so when you begin to share your testimony, you know, even if you're sharing somebody else's testimony, but it's look at what God has done, you know, and that's when you begin to see the results and people's lives are being changed by the power of the gospel. Amen. I kind of shared this already, but I want to share it again. Governing territorial churches, and that's the type of apostolic order and church that we're under, they keep the heavens open, having the ability to shut hell and to exercise dominion over the spiritual realm, making the atmosphere conducive for the Holy Spirit to move. You know, we sing songs about, you know, how the atmosphere is changing. The spiritual climate is changing, and it's all because of government, it's all because of order, it's all because of an apostolic anointing that's on this house. It's because we have an apostle that's hearing from God, that's putting out accurate information, correcting doctrine, and meticulously getting the body of Christ to the position and the place that it should be. you know, to where we can function and operate as one man operating, you know, with no restraints, where the power is flowing, you know. Whenever you have a short, you don't get full power. You know, I remember in our bedroom years ago, apparently when they put the receptacles in, they didn't connect the wiring properly. And whenever we connected two or three different things on a receptacle, the lights would go dim and start to, you know, just things start, all kind of crazy stuff started happening. And then we had an electrician come and he started looking and checking. And he said, whoever installed these receptacles, they don't have good tight connections and they didn't connect them right. And so he reconnected them. And since then, we hadn't had any problems. You know, when the church is not in proper alignment and that stability is not there, you know, the current of the anointing can't flow like it should. But when we're all hooked up and in proper order under apostolic government, which we are, then there's no limit to what God can't do through us. Because order has been established. Amen. And that's what it's all about. And I just wanted to share, you know, these things are dear to me because I'm seeing things that, you know, and I've never seen before. We need to kind of take note. I'm about to close. Kind of take note about the things that we've experienced over the years and reflect of what God has done and is doing, you know, and recognize, you know, hey, this wasn't happening 15, 20 years ago. You know, we're on the cutting edge of a new realm in the spirit, you know, so don't take it lightly, you know, stay focused. Stay focused on the assignment. Stay focused on what God's called you to do, you know, because, I mean, we're in for the ride that we like a ride like we never had before. You know, every day is exciting, you know. It humbles me to know that even in our school of ministry, there are people all over the world that's tuned in, you know. Several states, just, you know, it. You have no idea the impact we're making. Places I travel to, you know, if I'm going to some of the Money Come to You conferences, the supernatural Money Come to You conferences, and I run into somebody and they ask me what I'm there for, and I tell them, you know, I'm here with Apostle Thompson. Oh, wow, you know, I mean, they're, ooh, you're blessed. I've heard people say, other prominent ministers, that there, even in the early days, back in when he was following Dr. Hagin, you know, and I would be at a meeting and they would say, well, whose church are you a member of? I'm saying, I'm a member of Dr. Thompson's church. Wow, you're blessed. I'm serious, you know, but we cannot take that for granted, you know. We can't let the scripture in Matthew chapter 8 where, you know, where we become too familiar with our man of God. And because of that, you know, things are not going to function the way they're supposed to. You know, you never want to become too familiar with your man of God, you know, because when you honor properly and when you respect and when you give honor to whom honor is due and recognize what we're experiencing is rare, then you can't help but receive the benefits and the blessings of the anointing that God sent here for each and every one of us. Amen. Something the apostle said a Sunday ago, don't let somebody new come in. And you know, I'm happy for any blessing that anybody received. But now I am, seriously. But if you've been here, you know, I actually like to hang around new believers because there's a freshness there. You know, when somebody is excited about the word, that sparks me. You know, iron sharpened iron, you know. But somebody who, you know, well, yeah, I know that, you know, no, you and it's it. Oh, yeah, I heard that before. No. You got to stay fresh. Expect the fresh. Amen. All right, we're going to conclude with that. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just thank God for the word and what God is doing. We thank God for our apostle. Amen. Amen. All right, now it's time for tithes and offerings. Glory to God. Ushers, glory.